Welcome to Component 4, Introduction to Information in Computer Science, Unit 3, which is entitled Computer Hardware and Architecture. A key element in understanding the field of information and computer science is knowing how a computer functions and how data is represented in memory. Along those lines, we need to understand the various input and output devices used, how these devices connect to the computer, and the CPU and its role in making the whole computer system function. We will explore all of these topics in Unit 3 and provide you with a foundation of how computers function. Unit objectives include understanding how to list the major elements of a computer, such as the motherboard, the CPU, input-output devices, memory, secondary storage, buses, expansion cards, ports, and so on. Describe how data is stored in memory and in secondary storage. Describe how data is represented in binary. Describe the function of the CPU. Describe how data is input and output from a computer. Describe how a computer system works together. And finally, introduce specialized architectures and embedded systems used in healthcare systems. Data type determines how data is stored in memory. Data is interpreted by software based on its type. Some types of data include integer numbers, for example, the whole number 12, floating point numbers, including whole numbers, and numbers after the decimal point, and characters. An example of a character is the lowercase letter A. Software engineers select a data type for each piece of data that will be stored when they design a program or even a web form. For example, to store the number $2,005.56, the engineer would select a floating point data type. A computer can process data more quickly when it knows what type of data it is. Let's look at those three data types in more detail. Integers are stored as binary numbers, and they use something referred to as 2's complement, which allows for the storage of negative and positive integers. You will study 2's complement mathematics if you take advanced computer classes. Floating point numbers are stored as floating point notation, which is similar to scientific notation, with the exponent and mantissa stored in binary. Characters are stored in the ASCII or Unicode format. Each character, again, is represented by a binary value. Continuing our discussion about storage of characters, the American Standard Code for Information Exchange, or ASCII, was created to map a set of 8-bit words to English language characters. The 8-bit word, as shown on the screen, 01000001. Is mapped to the English language alphabet character capital A. Notice that this is a capital A, not the lowercase a, which is mapped to the 8-bit binary word of, and notice that these are different, 0110 0001. Each keyboard character is assigned its own distinct 8-bit word by ASCII. An operating system can locate data that is stored in primary or secondary storage. When data is stored in primary or secondary storage, each piece of data is provided a physical memory address by the CPU. Whenever data is subsequently used by a program, for example, to open or save a file, then this physical address is used as its reference. File addresses start with the first character of the file and end with the file's last character. Characters in the file are strung together like railroad cars that make up a train, where each car knows its head and its tail. The physical address is represented in hexadecimal, which allows the address to be represented in fewer digits than in binary. However, a full discussion of hexadecimal representation is beyond the scope of this lecture. Consider this example of data addressing. The memory address 000 has the contents in binary of 1001. In memory address 101, we have memory content in binary of 0100. The CPU, or Central Processing Unit, is the most important computer component. The CPU is the brain of the computer and is responsible for the main operations of the entire computer system. The system represents everything that is on the motherboard, including the motherboard and all its connected devices. While all of the devices can typically send and receive information, they still need the CPU to process the information that they want to send and/or receive. The CPU has its own small, very fast memory, called the cache, which is usually implemented with synchronous dynamic RAM or SDRAM. Modern motherboards support multiple processors or cores, which makes them very fast. The term core refers to all CPU components such as the ALU, the control unit, and the CPU's SDRAM. As an example, the AMD Phenom 2-6 core processor is 6 CPUs in one boxed unit. The main function of the CPU is to execute instructions. These instructions are very simple, such as basic arithmetic operations like addition, subtraction, multiplication. Other instructions include load and store instructions, which retrieve values from memory or stores values in memory. The CPU also executes branch instructions, used to move from one part of a program to another part of a program. The ALU, or arithmetic logic unit, performs arithmetic operations. Some CPUs contain more than one ALU, so that more than one math operation can be performed at a time. Registers store the operands used by the ALU. Registers are fast, temporary storage and are connected to the ALU and to CPU memory. If you study computer programming, specifically assembly language programming, you will learn how to store values in these registers, how to retrieve them, and then how to operate on them using values in other registers. Another CPU component is the control unit, which manages all the things done by the processor. It fetches the next instruction and then decodes it so that the CPU can operate on that instruction. Memory is another CPU component. Memory consists of the on-processor cache and the larger primary memory. Finally, the CPU has a number of buses used to carry data between CPU components. The CPU executes instructions one at a time and is never idle. Here are the 5 steps that make up one instruction cycle. Step 1. The CPU, through the use of its control unit, fetches an instruction from memory and is able to keep track of the location of the current instruction through the use of something called a program counter. The CPU needs to know which instruction is executing and the address of the next instruction. Step 2. The CPU, through the use of its control unit, decodes the instruction. As it finishes decoding the instruction, any values contained within the instruction are placed into registers. Step 3. The CPU executes the instruction. Step 4. The ALU stores any calculated result in a register. Step 5. The CPU returns to step 1 and fetches the next instruction. The image on this slide provides a logical view of how the CPU operates. The instruction fetcher is at the top. The instruction is then decoded and placed in registers. The ALU performs the same type of an operation and writes the result to the registers. Now that we have discussed the motherboard, input-output devices, RAM, hard disks, the CPU, motherboard buses, and CPU buses, we can look at them logically in a diagram. The diagram on this slide depicts the CPU, which has access to the motherboard's data and address bus, which gives the CPU access to the memory and to input-output devices. When we think of CPU performance, we have to keep in mind that CPUs operate at super fast speeds. In fact, humans cannot fathom the speed at which a CPU performs. A 2 GHz CPU operates at a speed of 2 billion operations per second. This might help you appreciate why there has to be a fan on top of the CPU. Imagine all the heat generated through the activities of all its copper wires as the CPU quickly performs its tasks. The CPU improves its performance through the creation of processes and threads. A process is a running program such as Microsoft Word. A thread is a specific task running within a process. For example, Word may save changes to a file and then subsequently print that file. Each of these operations represents a thread within Word's process. Threads can exist in a number of states at any given time. For example, a thread may be running, waiting, stopped, or blocked. In advanced programming classes, you will learn how to program an operation so that it can help work with the functionality of the CPU and maintain the CPU's fast pace. On the previous slide, you no doubt noticed that some threads can be blocked. You may wonder why a thread would be in a blocked state. A thread might be blocked because it represents a request to print something while the printer is currently printing. In the interim, the CPU passes its attention to another process or thread and waits for the blocked thread to interrupt it for execution. In this case, the blocked thread enters the resume state so that it can print. This process gives the appearance that the CPU is performing more than one operation at a time, when in fact, it never does so. If you have one CPU on your motherboard, that CPU can only do one thing at a time. Even so, if the motherboard houses a 2 GHz CPU, the CPU is performing 2 billion operations in 1 second. For a number of years, it seemed that functionality of CPUs grew at an exponential rate, and so many of us were afraid to purchase a computer for fear that it would be obsolete within a few months. Today's motherboards support multiple CPUs, also referred to as cores. These CPUs are housed within one physical CPU that is installed on the motherboard. Some motherboards support installation of multiple physical CPUs on a single motherboard, each containing more than one core. In this case, the computer is actually performing more than one thing at a time. This is an evolving technology, as CPU vendors such as AMD and Intel work to produce more efficient CPUs without significantly changing motherboard architecture. You may have noticed that when we referred to what is saved on a hard disk, we use the term data. We have not used the term information to refer to what is stored on a hard disk. Data is information stored on a computer in binary format. You should recall that each character, a pixel or other object, is represented by 8 bits when it is operated on or stored by the CPU. This is the definition of data. Information is not the same thing as data. Data has no meaning or value since data is just a number, character, etc., that is stored on a hard disk. Information is data presented so that it has meaning. For example, the capital letter U is meaningless by itself. However, when this piece of data is presented as a string of text in the format of United States of America, it becomes information and it has meaning. We have covered quite a bit of information in this unit. To summarize, a computer system is comprised of the hardware, including the CPU, RAM, input-output devices, and software, such as the operating system. Examples of devices that contain an operating system include cell phones, PDAs, robots and robotic devices, routers, switches, laptops, desktops, servers, and web servers. An operating system is composed of thousands of computer programs that securely manage how hardware interacts with non-operating systems or application software installed on the computer. Google Earth is application software. Google Earth is a free program that a user can install on a computer that already has an operating system installed. Microsoft Word is a commercial application in the Microsoft Office suite of programs. Again, you install Microsoft Word on a computer that has an operating system installed. Medical imaging done in CT and MRI scans requires specialized CPU architectures. For example, the GE Healthcare CT750 HD computed tomography scanner scans and stores hundreds of terabytes of data at a time. This type of equipment, which features Intel's Xeon-based CPU, must discern the soft tissue and organs at an almost molecular level in real time. For that type of functionality, the CPU has to be optimized for speed and performance. Obviously, desktop and server CPUs cannot provide this type of performance. To review, in this unit, you learn that the major elements of a computer include the CPU, input-output devices, memory, buses, and ports. System components include the motherboard, CPU, motherboard slots, and expansion ports. A computer is composed of hardware and software. Computers only understand binary numbers. The motherboard is composed of copper wires, also known as buses. You learn that the motherboard buses are the address, control, and data buses. Input-output port types include the mouse, keyboard, monitor, USB, and other ports. Storage devices can be internal or external, and include hard disk drives and RAM. Input devices include the keyboard, mouse, an MRI device, a CT scanner, and others. Output devices include the monitor, printers, flash drives, ultrasound images, voice synthesizers, and other devices. Data stored in RAM is volatile, which means that when the computer loses power, whatever was stored in RAM is lost. Data stored on a hard disk drive is non-volatile, meaning that when the computer is turned off, whatever was saved will not be lost. Data is stored in electronic binary format, and binary numbers are either in the on state or off state. You learn that the most important component in the computer is the CPU, which consists of an ALU, control unit, and memory. The CPU operates on instruction cycles. The CPU improves its performance through processes and threads. You also learn that data is different from information. Finally, you learn that healthcare equipment requires the use of specialized CPU architecture. Special CPUs are required to process, analyze, and store the large amounts of data created by 3D scanners and other medical equipment.